Shaw, I'm sending a car for your protection. Don't waste any time.
Normally, on cold winter mornings, Liz Shaw liked to rush to the thermostat, turn up the heat, and then run back to her bed. Sleeping under warm covers in a cold room gave her a great sense of comfort, but it made quick starts difficult in the morning. However, she could not afford a leisurely 15 minutes to let the flat warm up. The unit staff car would arrive within 30 minutes, and unit soldiers took the brigadier's orders quite literally. Her driver might just come into the flat to get her if the current situation was urgent enough.
For today on the heating vent, then turn off the thermostat full blast, then jump into the shower. After that, it's breakfast. All right. 1, 2, 3.
The showerhead fired spears of water at Liz with the speed of tiny bullets, but she was accustomed to the hard spray. It was invigorating, forcing her to wake up, and she knew she would need to be fresh and alert. As annoyed as she could be with the brigadier's high-handed methods, she also knew that only an emergency would prompt him to send a car for her before dawn. This hot shower and the morning coffee might be her last pleasant moment for a long time. With that in mind, she did a second lather. She quickly finished, dried off, and donned her underclothes. By then, her garments for the day were warm through, plaid slacks, a camisole, and a heavy sweater. Liz preferred more professional and stylish attire, but whenever the brig mentioned safety right off the bat, it was wiser to wear adaptable clothes rather than anything fragile or too feminine. She had spent a generous amount of her time at units spelunking, exploring old factories, climbing ladders up to catwalks, and hiking over rough terrain. Besides, there was no time to press anything. She swiftly brushed back her auburn hair, fastened it into place, and by then the flat was warm. Liz always prepared her breakfast things the night before, so the coffee pot was filled and ready to be plugged in. While it perked, she fished out slices of bread and made toast. The minutes were ticking down. While the coffee continued to perk, she munched the first piece of toast and assembled her purse for the day, taking special care to keep her unit pass on top. With a frown of annoyance, she saw that the doctor had once again thrust his own pass down into her purse so that she would look after it for him. He huffed and puffed and roared about passes, but as the brigadier was never put off by these theatrics, the doctor had at last been forced into having one made. Only now he refused to keep track of it. He was always passing it on to others, and Liz got it most of the time. Now she ruefully surveyed his ridiculously beaming face as it stared back at her from the laminated card. Then she thrust the pass back into place and went to retrieve her coffee and finish the toast and jam. At least with a driver she could finish the coffee in the car, she thought. She made a precautionary trip to the loo before getting her coat and scarf. There was a chance that this car trip would take her far afield from unit, and she didn't want to ask for a special stop. As she came into the hall again, she had an inspiration and quickly pulled down her vanity case from a top shelf in the closet. She opened it and threw in extra undergarments and a pair of silk leggings and matching silk top. These last two items had been special ordered from an outdoor outfitter's up north on the advice of Jimmy Monroe. Tough soldiers didn't like to call them silk underwear, but the thermal undergarments offered a protection against severe cold that man-made fibers had not yet equaled. The young captain's advice was a sign of unexpected camaraderie between them. Liz was not sure she could reciprocate. She still distrusted soldiers and the military mindset, but Monroe was professional and courteous. He made a good 2IC to the brigadier. She struggled into her heaviest coat, pulled on a woolen tam, and wrapped her scarf. The gloves came last. Liz opened her seldom-used front door and saw that the black, unmarked staff car had arrived. Exhaust, burnished red from the taillights, rose in clouds around the car, a sign of the extreme cold. And even from her doorway above, she could see that vestiges of heavy frost rimed the car roof and rear window. The white glare of headlights pointed away from her cut through the pre-dawn darkness. She gathered up her case and purse in one hand and coffee cup in the other. With some difficulty, she closed and locked the door, and then she hurried down the steps. Sergeant Benton, identifiable by his huge frame, quickly exited the front passenger seat of the car as she approached. He was bundled into a heavy army coat, and he pulled on his hat as he exited. She felt some surprise at having both a driver and a second person in the so-called shotgun seat come for her. And there was something different about Benton, but she couldn't quite place it. Then she realized that his hat was wrong. It was not the usual UN-style beret.
Good morning, Professor Shaw. May I take your case?
Brigadier's orders, miss. The bland smile told her that nothing else would be forthcoming. It was far too cold to stand and discuss anything. She handed him her coffee so that she could stow her bags, then she slid inside the warm interior. He leaned down, smiled, and passed her coffee to her. Then he closed the door, got in on the passenger side in the front, and the car smoothly pulled away from the curb. Liz already knew that if she started carping and complaining about the early call and the dramatic arrival of a staff car, that Sergeant Benton would become more bland and courteous, but much less informative. So she quickly adapted to the moment.
Corporal Boyd, Mom. Right cold morning, isn't it?
Disturbance at the gates, miss.
Oh, some kind of demonstration. We don't know what it's about. But a couple of rocks were flying, so the brig thought we'd better make sure outside people got in safely.
Probably nothing, Miss Shaw, but as we get in sight of the gates, you'll likely want to get down on the floor, in a crouch, face down. The car's glass is shatterproof, but we don't want to test it.
Nothing to be afraid of course, and plenty of time to finish your coffee, but when we say so, you'll need to get down and stay down until we say it's all right. We may be stopped by the crowd. We don't want anybody to be hurt, so we're not going to try to rush the gate. We've got to let the fellers inside unit open the gates for us without letting the demonstrators make a determined rush. I reckon somebody is now.
24 as we drove out, but the radio dispatcher says there are more coming. I think their number has doubled, and more are arriving. Not that we've been told, but the morning conference has been moved up.
The brig says you're to report directly to the morning conference.
The darkness was not yet thinning. Dawn, Liz thought, was at least an hour away. She sipped the coffee and still tried not to be troubled over this strange turn of events. Soon enough, she knew, she would be forced to be completely dependent on the doctor to side with her in a high-pressure situation. Once again, always playing the game of politics to gain credibility with her commanding officer. Yet it had been her credibility that had prompted Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart to take her from Cambridge and bring her onto his staff. But she forced her list of complaints from her mind. She had to get focused on the problem at hand.
Hours. All units acknowledge.
This Bravo is Charlie Ray acknowledge.
Greyhound acknowledges.
More now than an hour ago. Best get down, miss. Turn on the bright lights. I'll get the spotlight.
There must be 100 by now.
The protesters are throwing rocks.
All right. You stay ready to inch forward. I've got the handset. Greyhound to track. Greyhound to track. We've got the rabbit. Can you get us in?
We'll attempt a sortie. Drag the leaders back in with us.
They better hurry.
They don't want us inside.
Right, lads, open the gates. Alpha and Bravo, out on the flanks. Charlie, front and center with me.
Here come the lads. Stay down, Miss Shaw.
We need riot gear. This is no way to handle this.
We never thought we would have to. Go, go.
Take your woman in, unit whore.
Unit whore! Can you get that one in the black peacoat? Drag him in if you can. This is Greyhound. Never mind that. Don't risk it. I'm sorry, Professor Shaw.
We've got four of the ringleaders. The crowd's pulled back. I think we frightened them a bit. Somebody get the bullhorn down here. We'll try to keep them calm if we can't disperse them. The bullhorn's been sent down, but it's no good. We'll have to have the police in. They've been alerted.
You can get up, Miss Shaw.
He makes units' autonomy on British soil a high priority. This protest sure shows up the chinks in his UN armor.
That's enough, Corporal.
Yes, sir.
I really couldn't say, miss.
Let me get that for you, Miss Shaw. There you are.
Yes, I've been worried about you. And I could have gone with you, Sergeant.
The Brigadier told me to leave without you, Doctor. I do apologize. It was an order.
Yes, and then he had Bessie locked up in the machine shop, all to keep me here. I'm capable, too. You're my friend and colleague, and I had a perfect right to go. They did they? Well, it's all nonsense, of course. We'll get everything sorted out, Liz. You and me both. Provided we can keep the Brigadier out from underfoot. Come on to the conference. Let's see if we can get a decent explanation.
You know, that's the first time you've called me your friend.
Miss Shaw, I'm glad you've arrived safely. I believe we are all here.
Is there tea?
Please take your seats, Doctor, Miss Shaw. We are at security level 3. This has necessitated that all uniform personnel adopt the uniforms of the host country.
A desperate attempt to fit in with the local landscape. Yes, perhaps now that the horse is out, we might start closing a few barn doors.
There will be television cameras arriving soon enough, Doctor. If we cannot deter these fanatics at the front gate from shouting our mission from the rooftops of London, we may be able to set up some sort of contradiction to their claims. Captain Munro was duty officer last night, but he's still down at the gates. Corporal Adams will report.
They're charging us, units specifically, with supporting fascism. They say we've been part of a cover-up, that we destroyed incriminating evidence against a group of scientists who are running a research group north of here.
What research group? Not that underground nucleus site. Unit closed them down months ago.
Not TSRG.
What's TSRG?
That will do. We'll let TSRG stand for whatever you like, Miss Shaw. They are top secret. We will not discuss them if it can be avoided.
Well, what's UNIT got to do with them? Why would anybody even associate UNIT with them? We're independent of British research groups.
TSRG is with NATO. We have a dotted line relationship with them.
I didn't get any specific name. That's all that we could pick up. They say UNIT's been part of a cover-up for a fascist group that's committed some sort of a crime or atrocities.
Spit it out, Brigadier. Has UNIT been giving assistance to some sort of abuse of power? If so, let's admit it and get things set right.
We have certainly not been assisting in any type of fascist policy. We've got an extensive charter to keep us from just such abuses, Doctor. Unit preserves the security of the world.
Yes, I've heard that before. It's a common phrase across the galaxy.
You're all dismissed. Back to your stations. We will maintain emergency status security level 3. Not you two, Miss Shaw. We shall continue. I have an assignment for you.
Then pass those biscuits here.
Yes, if you're quite ready.
All right, what is it? Oh-ho, Liz. Those ones have nuts.
We may have to handle this with the utmost discretion and sensitivity.
So this TSRG has been up to something.
Look, they do weapons research for NATO.
Illegal weapons research?
Legally speaking, Doctor, weapons research cannot be declared illegal unless it involves a material that has been banned by the NATO treaties, or if it is directed at making a type of weapon that has been banned.
Or research in a brand new category of weapon. It cannot be declared illegal until some sort of blueprint, or better yet, a prototype has been developed.
Precisely. Not that the forces of the Communist Bloc or the Third World dictatorships would view the legality of their research in the same light. Technically, everything they do is legal. Put under a microscope of scrutiny, their work may raise serious objections.
Enough to destabilize certain peace treaties?
Yes. TSRG Security Department was charged with heavy-handed tactics several months ago. Some of their researchers and directors are devotedly anti-communist.
Fascist.
Well, pretty close. They have erred consistently on the side of maintaining their security. That doesn't sit well with British yeomanry. I get the idea that the British government assumed that if TSRG were plopped out in the countryside in an old munitions plant from the war, they would eventually blend in with the locals. It requires a certain confidence that the locals will want to know all the small business of the place without being all that interested in its higher purposes.
I see. You can keep the information private by feeding the rumor mill at the pubs and greens. Tell enough silly stories, buy enough beer for everybody, and they'll settle on the idea that you're a bunch of harmless and amiable machine engineers.
Yes, but TSRG was pretty ham-fisted about it. They detained trespassers from the start, poachers and the like, and put up about 3 times as much fencing as was needed. Then there were stories of them chasing out squatters who camped too close, and actually using riot batons once or twice when men showed up to argue about what was going on. Unit was called in to investigate and advise. We offered them a few clinics on a hands-off method of security. They agreed to everything. Our investigation did show minor abuses of power, and we were promised that these were rectified.
Obviously, the easiest way to get rid of Unit was to agree with everything.
We must investigate, of course. Monroe has detained 4 of the ringleaders from the protest outside. I'll talk to them.
Well, you better make sure that they are treated well.
An excellent idea. Both of you get some medical supplies together and come with me. We'll visit them together and supervise their care. Miss Shaw, I should like it if you would be the prime communicator with each prisoner. As you are a medical doctor, I'll let you assess any injuries they sustained while being arrested.
Yes, there are few sights more comforting to a man than a beautiful and concerned woman attending to his scratches.
Yet if I were to ask the doctor to do it, you'd grouse that I neglect your skills.
I'm sure that Liz doesn't like emergency situations any more than the men do. Perhaps we can end this quickly without being too heavy-handed.
You don't really approve of UN and NATO interventions, do you, Miss Shaw? Well, Monroe, what's the status?
They're pretty unsophisticated as far as we can determine, sir. We let the detainees exchange whispers and notes with each other when they thought nobody was looking.
Did you learn anything?
A man by the name of Hawthorne was clearly directing the others. We've got him in cell one. And he does appear to be a bit more ruthless than the others.
Is he violent?
Not once we got him subdued. All the same, I wouldn't turn my back on him.
All three of us will look in on him.
Very good. This way, sir. Here's visitors for you. My commanding officer and two advisors.
I know all about the Brigadier. What do you want? You must be scared proper to come down and see me.
This is Professor Shaw from Cambridge University. She has a medical degree, and we have asked her to certify that you've not been abused here.
Likely story. Part of this fascist group and part of this fascist cover-up.
I'm a Cambridge researcher, Mr. Hawthorne. I have more interest in protest groups, nor am I especially political. I am a scientist, but I also despise fascism. The British suffered quite enough from it once. If you oppose a genuine fascist enemy, my sympathies are with you. If you are merely an agitator who throws rocks, I think you are a fool.
That's what you think, is it?
But either way, will you allow me to examine you for injuries? I've got my bag.
Yes, all right. It's the end of a bout of pneumonia.
Unbutton your shirt, please. I've brought my stethoscope. I'd love to listen. Well, the heart is excellent. Cough, please. Again. One more time. Your heart is in very good shape, even for a habitual smoker. But there is residual fluid in your lungs.
I told you, it's the end of a bout of pneumonia. No, they got me round the throat with a nightstick thing and dragged me backwards. I got a bash on my knee, though. That knee, left knee.
All right, throat first. I'm going to chase the sound of your breathing and swallowing. Just breathe normally. Do you have any difficulty breathing?
No.
No sensation of pressure in the air passage?
No, it's my knee.
All right, I'm going to check the... The kneecap is intact, but there is fluid buildup.
Because he had a massive chunk of rock in his hands. One of my men kicked across his knee to save himself from being brained, and another got him in a nightstick choke and dragged him in.
That's what they say.
Let me see your hands, then. There are fresh nicks and tiny spots of blood on them. You were picking up rocks, holding them quite tightly, too.
Yeah, all right, we were provoked. This place is covering up outright murder. A woman's murder, too. What do you think of that?
Whose murder?
Chris Lanier, Johnny Jewel, and Alf Brandy. All of them deader than hammers. Found just off the grounds of that place. That old aeroplane factory or whatever it used to be. And the last was our Joni Lorick. A woman younger than you.
Dead how?
Electrocuted as though you didn't know. Those jackbooted guards of that place beat them and threw them on the electrified fence. And got off scot-free because they lie like blazes for each other and say they're someplace else. And they killed that squatter that used to come around the pub and beg. We never even knew his name.
It hardly seems likely that they would treat a woman as any type of threat.
Killing Joni was their warning to the rest of us.
We will investigate your claims.
Like fun. You're a UN group, and you're hand in glove with them. And what do you have to say, Liz Shaw? Yes, I know all about you. Why is Joni dead and you're alive? What law in Britain says that Cambridge doctors have got more protection than ordinary people? See here, this woman... Those words come out of your mouth.
Resorting to violent protest hasn't gotten you anywhere. Wouldn't it have been better to go through newspapers and a legal system?
I'll show you violence.
Stop! Stop him!
I've got her. Open the door, man.
We'll kill her like you kill our Joni. We'll kill your blasted lady professor.
Liz, can you hear me? Liz, can you hear me? Monroe, where are you? Open the door.